Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, and we use it so many times and so much that we just use it as a crutch sometimes just outside the door, but it means much more than that. And verse 31, what shall we say to these things? Amen. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us. Now, that's not a question there. That's an exclamation. That's this word if here is means to remove all doubt.
That's right.
Remove all doubt out of your mind about God for you. God is for you. And under every circumstance you've ever been in, God's for you. Amen. So God is for us.
Yeah.
Amen. That's definite. God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in thy high and holy place with him. Also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite one. Amen. So there is a seem to be a conquest or that is going on here. Amen. But one is almighty and the other is weak. Amen. So God is almighty, and he's for you. And if he be for you, he is for you. Can you say that? God is for me. God is for you. And God will stay with you. Amen. Thank God. Glory. Do whatever you want to with us. God is still with us. Amen. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. Amen. So God is for us. Elective, God is for us. Amen. Whosoever will, God is for us. Amen. Hallelujah. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what you're predestinated to be conformed. Amen. It wasn't a selected here, amen, as, but of a determination of God. Amen. That you was to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren, the foreknowledge and of God concerning you. Amen. It means that he makes all things work for you. Amen. Amen. He turns all things for your good. Hallelujah. Amen. There is an eternal plan of God for you. Amen. And now he determines all things work for you. Glory. Amen. We cried, oh me, my God, not again. Or how come this? Amen. If a man is saved, he is saved by what? The grace of God. So God is for us. Amen. We are, amen, an object of God's divine planning. Glory. Amen. So God is for you because he has selected you. Amen. Glory. Amen. I'm going to say a few things here and then cut it off, I think. Or might. Good possibility will. And good possibility won't either. Amen. When God is for us and he's for you, then no weapon that is formed shall, amen, overcome you. Nothing that the devil or flesh or man can do, amen, can stop you or overcome you or destroy you, because God makes what he tried to do work better for you. Amen. Amen. And so here we have the heritage of the children of God. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Amen. All things. Somebody said, oh, great God. God, there's no difference between me and the sinner, because he sends a rain on the just and unjust. Uh-huh. Now, he's talking about rain. Yeah. He's not talking about grace.
No, he's talking about
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so when it comes to the place that something happens to you, amen, there is a grace of God that takes that and just turns it around and makes it work for your good. What would have been disastrous without God is a triumph. It is a glorified, amen. It is something that heaven makes for you that makes you so much better than what you was before it happened to you. Amen. So these things that are against you, amen, shall not prosper against you, but prosper for you. The weapon of slander, the weapon of doubt, amen, persecution, temptation, false teaching, amen, a man's malice, amen. What we call the Christian security. Do you believe in eternal security, Brother F? Yes, sir. Could I get at least one? Amen. Yes, sir. I am, and I believe in eternal security.
Yes, sir.
Amen. As long as I'm in this boat, I'm in this boat. Long as I'm saved, I'm saved. And the only way I cannot be saved is to send myself out of the business of God. Amen. But we are kept. We are kept. Can you say that? We are kept. Amen. What? We are kept by the power of God. There's something that's almighty that's keeping us. Amen. So we're kept by the power of God. Amen. The eternal purposes of grace that is in our life and upon us. Glory. Amen. Wherever you're at today, God will make the hardships of life work better for you. And I've been through two or three things in life that I didn't think I was going to ever, ever see the sun shine again. Whew. Lord have mercy. Amen. It just boggled my mind. When that first doctor came in my room, and I'd been preaching quite hard in several meetings and pastoring at home and doing all that, and I got to where I couldn't breathe.
And Doris said, "There's something wrong with you." And I said, "I'm just working hard in the pulpit." She said, "No, no, no. There's something wrong with you." And I said, "I don't think so." She said, "I think so." Hey, man, don't you wish sometime that you was as smart as they are? I said, okay, I'll go see the doctor. And she said, "When?" I said, "Oh, probably Tuesday next week." But, you know, I gave myself enough time till I would be better. So instead of being better, I was worse. And so I went in to see the doctor, and he said, they put me in the examining room. He come in, I knew him very well, and he said, now what's your problem? And I said, "I'll just show you." I got off the examining table and got back up on it. He said, "Oh, I see." He said, "You run across the hall and get an x-ray." And he said, "Don't come back in here. Just go across and go in one of those examining rooms over there, and I'll be there." And so when I went in that room, he very quickly he come in. He said, "I got to get you in the hospital right now." He said, "I don't know how much damage it's already done to you. I've got to get you right now." Amen. And he said, "You'll go directly to a room, and there'll be a doctor that'll come directly to you." Uh-huh. Amen. So I went in, and boy, here we go. And he comes in. He's got a needle about that long. I'm not exaggerating. And if you don't believe it, I can take you and get you one. And he bent me forward, and he put that thing in. He started drawing out fluid, and he kept drawing out fluid, and he kept drawing out fluid. And I didn't know it, but when he first drawed that first milky substance, he knew it was cancer. But I had no idea, not the slightest idea. I'm a preacher. I'm a holiness preacher. And I've never sinned since I got saved. I may have acted foolishly sometime, but sin and business was gone a long time ago. And there I was. Amen. And they said, "Run down." They took him down, got a scan. He come back in. And here come that doctor in. He said, "Mr. Horton," he said, "you have a malignancy in your body." And he said, "We don't know what it is." And he said, "Do you understand what I'm saying?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he looked at me and he said, "Sir, you have a malignancy in your body and a large tumor in the center of your body. Do you understand what I'm saying?" I said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I do. Yes, sir, I do." He turned quickly and went out. And then I heard a sound that will forever be embedded. I heard Doris groan. Like I'd never heard anybody groan. That's all she did, just groan. Amen. 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 God said, "I'll turn that around." But you're a dying. The doctor comes in and he said, "Now, we cannot do biopsy on that. It'll kill you if we do a biopsy on you." And so he said, he come back in the next day and he said, "We need a biopsy, but we can't do a biopsy only because it'll kill you." Yeah, yeah. And then he come back in the next day and he said, "We're going to do a biopsy on you." And I said, "Doc, you said it was too dangerous. It's still too dangerous." He said, "What are you going to do, send the university?" I said, "Yes, sir." Amen. God does not leave us when we're in trouble. All right. All right. The grace becomes abundant grace. All right. The power of God becomes powerful grace. All right. Hallelujah. The light shines brighter. All right. And the glory becomes, amen, something, amen, that gives us assurance beyond death and everything that could possibly happen to you. Amen.
God's for us. Yeah. Amen.
Yes,
and if it ever dawned on you, you are special to God. Amen. I mean, you're a special person, a special being with a special purpose.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. And in this situation that you become so great, I wouldn't even say a thing in the world about this, and I got up here, but I can see it's like the rest of it.
Yeah.
Amen. And so they was calling in the hospital, jammed the switchboard, room filled up, hall fills up. Amen. Brother Ralph got cancer. Brother Ralph got cancer. Brother Ralph's a dying. Amen.
Yeah.
And I knew. I didn't have to ask nobody, but I knew. And phone's ringing. I said, "Look, I can't handle any more of that. Just don't bother me with any more telephone calls." And so they said, "Okay." And the next morning, the phone began to ring again. And I said, "No, I don't want any." And I heard my oldest daughter, Deborah, say, "Dad, it's LL."
Yeah.
I said, "I'll take that one."
Yeah.
And I took the phone, and it was LL.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God has spoken. Thus saith the Lord, I'll heal thee. Hallelujah. I'll, amen, restore thy health, and I'll heal thy wounds. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God has spoken. Amen. In your worst situation, God will speak to you, and he'll assure you, amen, that you belong to him in a special way, and he's watching over you in a special way. Can you say glory? So the darkness becomes light, and the trouble becomes peace, and the joy becomes, amen, abundant joy. Amen. You see, you're his. He said, "You're mine." And so, in a few days, I'm at the University of Virginia. And they are going over me, a fine-tooth comb. And they said, "Well, you've got cancer. We don't know what it is, but we'll find out." And so they sent me to the cancer ward. And I love to inject this. It's all right. The head of the cancer there at UVA, his name is Charles Hess. He's from back home. And he knows I'm a local boy. And he knows I'm a preacher and a pastor. He knows Dad. He knows all those preachers. Amen. You see where God placed me? Amen. And so he said, "I'm going to put you over on cancer ward." And Doris looks at him and said, "Can I stay with him?" And he said, "Well, you sure can." And so it was late by the time they got me in my bed. And so Doris is sitting there in a straight chair, and a little nurse comes in. It's getting later now. And she's sitting there in a straight chair, and a nurse comes in and said, "And where are you staying?" And she said, "Right here." She said, "Oh, no, you're not." She said, "Doc, I said I could." And she said, "Oh." You see, God always puts it in there. When he puts it in there, you just sort of grin. And so, and there she's got a little straight chair with no privileges whatsoever in a cancer ward. Not even for a drink of water or any privileges whatsoever. And so there's a little girl, she's working there. She's low on totem pole.
And she's expecting a child. And I seen a grin come on her face. And out the room she went, Brother Neil, and down the hall. And here she come back. She's a pushing the chair. And she pushes it in the room and takes out that chair and looks over at Doris and grins real big. Amen. God has always got somebody there. Amen. You'll not walk it alone. You'll never go down the valley of despair. You may go down the valley, but it'll only be there for, amen, for those great things that you find in valleys, amen. Glory to God, because who? God is for you.
Amen.
Amen. So, they said, all right. So they send me down to getting ready to send me to get a biopsy. And they come back and said, we're sorry, but they won't touch you. Now, you're at the university.
Yeah.
Everybody's rejected you.
Yeah.
It's like they rejected you.
Yeah.
We'll bury you, but we'll... And so, and a resident doctor came in. He said, Mr. Horton, he said, would you give me 30 minutes of your time? And I said, sure. And he said, they've never seen your records in such and such a department, and I want to hand carry them there. And so I said, okay. So, 45 minutes later, he walked back in the room. When he walked back in the room, Brother Dunn, he said, first thing he said, good news and bad news. Bad news, they won't touch you. And they won't allow nobody else to touch you.
Uh-huh.
The good news is, over in GI, there's a woman over there says she can go down the throat and find it and get it. Amen. And I said, can you? He said, she sure can. I said, when? He said, now. I said, let's go.
Yeah, buddy.
So here we go. Amen. His last name is Volk. He's from down in Louisiana. He's one of them guys that eats crawdad tails. I asked him, I said, you eat crawdad tails, boy? And he said, you better believe I do. Amen. He was there studying to be a specialist of the liver. And so he got me in this unit, and I looked, and I see him way over. Before we went out of the room, he said, can I go with you? Doctor asking, can he go with me? Well, I said, well, sure. And so we got in that unit, and I looked over at the wall, about like from here to that wall, and over there stood Doc Boat backed up against the wall. And that's the last thing I remember till I was back in the room. And Doc Hess standing there, and he said, we got it. We know what it is. It's aggressive, but if with your permission, it'll come out and fight, and I'll kill it for you.
Uh-huh.
I said, get it! Yeah, man, if God... That if means God is for you. Woo! Amen. You don't have any doubt whatsoever that God is not for you. He wants you to know conclusive. Amen. In any way, in any situation, and wherever you might be, and whatever it might be, God is for you.
Amen.
And so, that's a story of the recovery. Amen. I suppose most of you know the story quite well, but it intensifies when they start giving you chemo.
Sure.
And I'm blonde headed, or was. And next thing I know, I'm not even headed. And you know what? Oh, Brother Neil, I mean, and there I was. I went home and they took me home, and a great grandson, they brought him in another door because I was so sick. I mean, I was so sick I couldn't stand the food, the smell, or nothing else. I was so sick. If you said anything about food, you were very offensive to me. And everything in the world stunk. I was like that old boy, you know, that if they put that little cheese in his mustache and he woke up in the bedroom, he said, "This room stinks." He went out in the living room and he said, "This room stinks." He went out on the porch and he said, "This whole world stinks." Hey, man, the whole world was stinking to me. Hey, man. And so they brought me in, set me down. Here comes this great-grandson in. And he's about as close to me as you are, Brother Fred. And all of a sudden, he starts laughing. And he's 8 to 7, 6 or 7. And old Daniel is laughing at me. And he laughs so hard, he falls backward in the floor laughing at me. "Welcome home, Papa." "You're a hairless creature, you." Amen. I'll tell you, when you get in this world, you'll be glad you've got a God. Amen. My girls come in. "Oh, Daddy. Oh, how pretty your head is. I never knew your head was that pretty. I'd have never known unless your hair had fell out. Oh, you look so dignified, Daddy." Hey, man. You know, hey, man. When God's for you. When God's for you. When I'd come out of the bathroom that morning that I took that shower and stopped up the drain with my hair, and Doris, she saw me. Her eyes come wide open, and here she come with a hair dryer and a brush, and she started. They was a few back there were still hooked in her some way. She started drying that. And putting hairspray on it. She was getting the last laugh. And so I said, "Honey, you've already used more hairspray on that one hair back there than most people do on their whole head." When I said that, she got tickled enough to drop it all. She saw how ridiculous it was to try to save one hair. Amen. And so we had the biggest day of our life for a while, is looking in the mirror and laughing.
All right. Praise God. All right.
If God be for you, if the worst happens to you, if the worst has come to you.
All right,
amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And when the worst happens to you, and here they come, and they here they come with hair pieces for me. And I sit down there, and here comes the barber over at the house with the hair pieces. If you want to laugh, if you want to laugh at yourself, Brother Don, go buy you a hair piece. He looked at it. He worked out a few minutes. He said, "I'll see you in the morning." When he went out the door, I said, "Doris, there ain't no way, baby." And she said, "That thing cost about $400, baby, or $500. And they had another. And I said, "Ain't no way. Ain't no way." I wish I was someplace else right now. I really do. I've got myself in one of those places. Is this
Hey, come on, let's go eat. And so, you know, funny things happen to you. And I know I've told you because I love this one. And so I had to go and get the blood work. And they wouldn't let me come into the hospital to get the blood work because my system's too low. And so they sent me to the quiet room from the emergency room. And I'm in there and I get the blood work. And so Doris starts to lead me out. And we go out and get close to the van. She said, honey, I'll help you in on the other side. And I said, I'm a man. I can get in. So she opened the door to get in. I said, this curb about like that. I stepped off that curb, and I had to do a PLF. Now, just paratroopers understands that one. I had to do a PLF, and I ended up under my van. And I'm laying there, and at this time, I don't have a voice. Hello, Darcy. I'm down there, and I'm hollering, Darcy! She's up there looking around. She said, where are you? You know, after a while, you lose about all the starch you ever thought you had. And so she can't find me, and I can't tell her where I'm at, and I can't move. I don't have enough strength to roll over, much less get up. And there's a correctional officer over there in a van, and he had saw me fall. And he's over there in his van, and he's pointing at Doris. She finally gets out of the van. Well, where are you? I'm down here. The man's down here. If you'll act like it's part of the preaching this morning, I'll walk over and sit down. You know, you got to preach triple good tonight. I don't doubt he can't either. And so he came over and he said, he's down there. And so they got a hold of me and pulled me out and helped the men get in the van. Yeah. Yeah. And so for a while, just call me boy. Yeah. Now listen. I preached across the country. Uh-huh. I preached divine healing. Yeah. I preached, you know, that God will be with you. Yeah. And here, JJ, I'm in a place where there ain't nobody wants to be with me. Uh-huh. Where it gets darker every day. Right. Where you get sicker every day.
All right,
amen. Until you're there dying. And you're dying. Amen. And I don't know, one day I hadn't eaten in days. And she said, Ralph, you're dying. And I don't want you to die.
Listen.
I want you to live. Yeah. I need you, Ralph. Yeah. I want you to live. I was too sick to want anything.
Yeah.
She said, sweetheart, if you don't eat, you're dying.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah. Please, Brother Ryan. She said some beautiful things to me in our marriage of 56 years.
All right.
But she never said anything that touched me any deeper. Was, please, Ralph. Please. Please. And God came to me.
feel very foolishly up here right now. I really do. But I'm up here to tell you, Mr. Harrison, if God be for you.
Yeah.
I'd rather have God for me and be in the darkest dungeon there is than to be in the sunlight without God.
That's right. That's right, my
rabbi. I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been in those places where you weep and you cry.
Yeah.
But I've never been in any place where God wasn't with me.
All right. Hallelujah.
J.J., in the last few years, he's one time quite a wealthy man.
Yeah.
He's broke dead as a convict now. But he's here.
Yeah.
And his precious wife,
yeah,
she's had to fight every day.
Yeah.
But she's here.
She's here.
Because who? God was for.
God was the happy. Oh,
he's for you. Amen. When those dark eyes put doubt in everybody's face that looked at you today, there's hope.
There is.
There's hope.
Oh, there is.
And there's hope for you. And there's hope for me because he is the God of hope.
Oh, he is.
So if God be for you, be for you, be for you, who can be against you? Amen. You know, we have those powerful scriptures. Who can separate us from the love of God? Amen. You don't have an enemy this day that can destroy you. It's impossible. Amen. When you're down on the last rung, there's still God.
There's still God.
Amen. And here's one thing that we give it to our people when we're in a funeral. But God careth for you.
Yeah.
When? When? When, Brother Neil? When? God careth for you.
Yeah.
For you.
Yes.
Most of you know about a lot of things that everybody in here today, Neil is your best friend. That's just the way we feel about him, isn't it? He's our best friend. I told him, I said, now board, don't jump out of your seat. I said, if Neil gets up and says, we're going to move this tabernacle today, they'd grab a shovel or something, they'd go outside and start trying to move the building. That's just how much confidence we have in him. Amen. And God is for you.
Amen. Yes,
and
he is.
I would like to just rear back and preach right now, but I don't feel to. I'm just grateful that God's for you, JJ.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And if you're here today, the worst trouble in the world has ever come against you. God's still for you. And he careth for you. He careth for you. Amen. Would you care to stand?
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God.
Brother Neil. This is one of the more special days of our lives.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. And I worked on a subject that I knew something about, but coming in here this morning, and it left.
All right.
And then, where's that preacher, teacher at? Where's he at?
He had to go to the kitchen.
I've got to go to the kitchen, too.